The houses are much different. They are about 300 to 600 feet. They are square. And so this indicates that larger families are living together, a move from a small family, parents, children, to a more extended family. What this indicates about a social shift, we don't know, but it's awfully interesting to imagine. It seems to be a much different type of culture. We can imagine that these larger house types would be important to attracting more people to the area and increasing the size of the village to eventually become a city. Houses could be enlarged whenever they needed to be. Remember, they're built from mud brick. And they were built in the Ubaid period with adjoining walls, so little rows of houses. We're starting to see streets and blocks of people living together. Temples can be identified for the first time, and they look just like houses, only bigger. They are also set on a platform above the level of the rest of the population. This platform is about 3 feet high, and it indicates that this house is bigger, is more important, and it is reserved for the gods. During the Ubaid period, we find our first evidence for irrigation canals in settlements, and we've referred to the fact that these are engineering projects. They need multiple groups of people to work on it. So we're starting to see a shift to an organized labor force, and therefore a shift to a much more complex social organization. We don't have a lot of information about this, but as we trace the development and growth of a village, we can see that all of the factors are coming together to create a more diverse population. These Ubaid settlements can really be best understood as the small villages that preceded cities that established many of the fundamental organization methods needed to allow cities to flourish. While we see evidence for a common Ubaid culture in southern, central, and even northern Mesopotamia, we lack the details that help us understand what this relationship was. And so one of the institutions that we focus on is the temple and what the role of the temple was. As I said, this is the largest house in the settlement. Doesn't seem to be any other type of significant house that could be identified as a palace or the home of a leader of the city. And so the rest of the houses are about the same, and then there's the house of the gods. And to us, this indicates that the temples played a major role in organizing the village. The large size of the temples lets them store and redistribute goods that could be created by the rest of the people in the village. And so this may be an important way for us to understand the redistribution model of excess goods and an idea of the early organization and sense of authority that the temples would have. One part of the community produces excess only when they are expecting something in return, perhaps crafts, perhaps other types of food, that would encourage a diverse diet. And the temples play key roles in all of these aspects of economic life. We'll come back to the temple and see how it serves both a religious function and an important locus for civic identity. In our next lecture, we will look at how these villages make the next step. So we're starting to see villages, but it's a big shift from a group of people living along one street to a city that can organize tens of thousands of people.